Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and praise God. We're glad to be back on another brand new year for us in the year of 2014. And I just wanted to say that we've been talking about the greatest thing, I believe, that God is speaking into the kingdom at this particular point. And that is that we've been talking about righteousness and kingdom living. I want to say to you this morning that I'm so happy to be in this new year. Thank God for giving us the grace and the assurance for this new year and how we've come into it and how we began to exactly do what I believe the Lord is speaking to us at this particular time. Well, let's get started. Amen. As we enter into the new year, I just thank God for a year of the gospel, the truth, signs and wonders, healing and deliverance. And I believe, matter of fact, we're going to do a segment in this time period going into this new year concerning righteousness and our right to be healed. We're going to talk about that on down the road here as we minister from this particular topic, kingdom living and righteousness, or either righteousness and kingdom living. We're going to talk about our right to healing. And I know that in this day and time, a lot of people don't believe in healing. They're struggling with that particular thing. But as we go into the segment, we're going to talk directly concerning our rights as believers to this particular area that I believe will be such a blessing to you as well as everyone who listens. Righteousness, our right to healing. All right, let's get started again. Amen. Let's talk about last week. We had on that broadcast with us Pastor Willie Longstreet out of Los Angeles, California. And we were really, truly blessed by some of the things that he shared concerning righteousness in the kingdom. And he called me back during the New Year holiday, as we always greet each other and check on each other and basically see how we were each other and how we were doing. And this is what he said. He said, Pastor, and I said, yes. He said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to look at 2014 to live royally. Excuse me. I said, what? He said, to live royally. And I said, all righty then, that's a great thing, Pastor Longstreet. And what you're telling me is that you are setting yourself to live in the kingdom. I stopped on that segment on the broadcast because I wanted to bring that back up. I want to recap some things. We're going to talk about that as we move along. Today, that word kingdom is taken from the Greek word Bas Aleph, which means royalty, rule, government, control, master, have authority over, to lead. That means that God has designed that you and I live royally. Now, what do you say, Pastor Robinson? Where are you coming from with this, and what are you really talking about? According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and the scripture tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We've been talking about that particular passage of scripture as the hallmark and the landmark scripture for this particular topic that we are sharing with you. And we've been looking at it also from Proverbs 14 and 34, which says, and righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach, as the proverbial writer said, Solomon, to any people. Let's recap a little bit. And in the event of this, we talked about, at the beginning of this segment, We define the word righteousness, which means to have prosperity. This is from the Hebrew meaning prosperity, to be cleansed, justice, or justified. From the Greek word, it means to say or to be equitable, equity, justification, or equality. And we talked about the equality in the area of righteousness concerning us as believers. And one of the statements that the Lord gave me was that you and I have purpose in equality, and we have a right in to take a nation or ethnic group to a higher place or heavenly places. That means the word exalted means from the word rumadon, which is to be high, to rise, or raise, promote, or set up. So it says that you and I have the right as believers in the body of Christ, as the righteousness of God in this nation or any nation, for any, as far as that concerned, that we live, we have the right as believers to take a place or a nation or nations or ethnic groups to a higher place or heavenly places in our designated areas of life. That means if we can do it in our homes, we can do it in our communities, we can do it in every area that we live in terms of who we are as believers, on our jobs, every place, anything, anytime, anywhere. We can go to any place in our nation, and we can exhibit righteousness. And because we are living that way, and because we do what is right, and because we live what is right, and because we walk in righteousness, and because we do justice, and we do those things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord, we have the right to bring people to that place with us. Now, is it going to be easy? I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I did say that we have the right. We do have the right to do that because we are the salt, as Jesus said, of the earth, and we are the light of the world. There is no place, nothing that we can do, you and I, within ourselves. Of course, in the terms of our own righteousness, as I shared with you in the very onset of this particular passage of Scripture, we talked about in 2 Corinthians 5:20, just says, "And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him." That's very important for us to know. We were made to be righteous. I told you that made had a twofold meaning. Made can be mean to be creative, or it also can be shared as being positioned, put in a place, a force to do a thing. It can be creatively made or created or put in a position, forced to do something outside of what we desire. But Jesus made us in this particular area creatively by his blood to become the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. So because he knew no sin, he became sin for us. He was our sacrifice. He was our supreme, eternal sacrifice. And because he knew no sin and gave himself for us to be sin, we were made the righteousness, glory to God, in him, in the body of Christ. So now we have equality. I shared this on one of the broadcast segments. Equality, knowing our equality. You know, back in the 60s, we were talking about equality. And we, as a people of my ethnic group, we were talking about equality because we desired equal rights. But the bottom line is that the Lord has told us 2,000 years ago that Jesus died on a Roman cross of wood and made us to have equality in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I want to be very clear, and I want to be very plain. There are no prejudiced people. There are no unjust people. There are no unfair people. There are no people that are not equal in the body of Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. There are no unjust people. There are no unequal people. There are no people in the body of Christ that are prejudiced, because we have been called all to be that person of equality in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, who made us to be righteous in the body of Christ. That means there should be no separatism, there should be no hatred, there should be no malice, there should be no envy, there should be no strife, there should be no fightings and bickerings among us, there should be no wars among us. We should be as one in the body of Christ, because we all as one have equality. There are no big I's, there are no big U's, and because you live in a better place or a better neighborhood, because you wear better clothes or you have better things, does not make you or qualify you to be a better person than another person who's in the body of Christ who has less than you. I'm saying that because so many times I see in the body of Christ that people are living just like the world. They have status quo, or either they have status of life, which they separate themselves from others who are in the body of Christ and make themselves to be of greater value than what God has called them to be. God, even with the disciples in the days of Jesus, they began to bicker among themselves and say, you know, I'm going to sit on his right side, and one another disciple said, I'll sit on his left. And they were arguing and they were bickering about it. And they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, could you tell us which one of us is going to sit on your right hand and which one of us is going to sit on your left hand? They were concerned about position. They were concerned about status. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with us desiring to have quality of life or status of life, but it does not mean that we should desire to be over another person in terms of not being equal in the body. And so he said to them, he said, it does not matter, guys, who's going to sit on my right or who's going to sit on my left. That's given to my Father. What you need to do is go do the will of God and serve in the kingdom. He said, let him that serves be the servant, be the greatest among you. So now listen, my friends, if you desire to be great today, then God has called you and he's called Jerry O'Neill Robinson and everybody else in this body of Christ to be servants one to another. That is the way that greatness, or either your position and status, is established in the body of Christ. I pray that that was very clear. I pray that that is very wholesome to you today in starting this 2014 year, that you and I would find our place in service and do it with all of our heart, do it with all of our mind, and do it with all of our soul, and show people that we are justified by the things we do. We have equality by the way we treat the others, and that we do those things according to righteousness, or the ways of God in right living. I've seen so many times in the body of Christ people who are in competition with each other, who has the largest church, who has the most members, who has the greatest radio broadcast, who has the greatest television. It's so much competition. God did not call us to be in competition. He called us to be one. He called us to be together in the body of Christ. And as I shared with you in another segment, God called us to synthesize. That means that we who are opposites should be able. Now listen to what I'm saying. Synthesize is opposites blending together to make harmony or to make one sound. I told you, I gave you the example of the piano, the black and white chords. Ironic, isn't it? A chord, period. One chord makes a small, easy sound, and another makes a tone that's a little bit more bassy, and one is a little bit more tremble. The bottom line is, when that thing is played by a person who is very gifted or who has experience on it, it begins to synthesize. It means it comes together. Opposites of chords blending together to make harmony or one sound. That's what God called you and I to do in the body of Christ. I'm leading up to something here, because I don't believe that you and I are going to be able to experience kingdom living if we don't begin to understand that God has called us to be together as one in the body of Christ, and not separated nor divided or having different insights or opinions about how we should live and love one another. I think there's only one way to love somebody, and that is to show them how much you love them, as according to the word of God, when Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Let me tell you something. Another passage he says that, and we know that we pass in the book of John from death unto life because we love the brethren. And if Jesus gave his life for us, so ought we also to lay down our lives. Glory to God, I feel like preaching, but I think I better teach. For the brethren. That's correct. You and I should lay down our lives for each other. One scripture says preferring or esteeming another better than ourselves, preferring one another over ourselves. That's the end result of what equality is represented, kind of has a different twist, a reversed meaning to us. You know, in this day and time, the world wants to be served, but God told us to serve. The world wants to receive, but he told us to give in order that we would show our righteousness and our equality and justification in the body of Christ. But we have the reverse of that. We want to be like the world. It was just like the children of Israel who God called to be a model. Do you mind if I just take this side trip? I give you these examples so you can have a real understanding of what righteousness and kingdom living is. In the Old Testament, God called the children of Israel to be the righteousness in the earth. He said, I called you as my own. I'm making you a model to all nations so that you can be the model that I desire for you to be in terms of them seeing who I am in the heavens. And the children of Israel, for a part and a time, did exhibit righteousness in the earth. And then one day, they said, we want to be like other nations. We want to have kings and we want to have leaders. And God said, no, I'm your king. I'm your leader. I'm the one who called you out. I'm the one who birthed you. I'm the one who loves you. They said, no, we don't want that. We don't desire that. We want to have another king. We want to have kings among ourselves. And God said, that's not what I designed for you in the earth. And that sounds like us today. Instead of us understanding the king of the kingdom, we want to do the things of the world and their system and way of doing things. And that's why we're talking about today righteousness and kingdom living. And that's why I stopped at talking about the kingdom. How can you understand the kingdom of God if you don't know who the king is? I'm going to ask that question one more time. How can you understand how to live in the kingdom if you don't know the king? It is imperative. It is important. It is of utmost urgency that you and I understand the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who is that? That is Yahweh. That is Yeshua. That is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of Yahweh. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God made him that. And so therefore, because he made him that, he who knew no sin, who is Yeshua, or Jesus, became sin for us, in the desires of Yahweh, who is God, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. Isaiah said, it pleased Yahweh to bruise him on your behalf and my behalf. It pleased Yahweh to hurt him, to bruise him, to kill him, to sacrifice him. Hallelujah for you and me. So the Roman writer said, if God gave his son to die for us on a cross, then how much more will he give us freely all things? You and I have been given a, praise God, a prestigious opportunity, a prestigious position in the body of Christ, and it is called righteousness. But it only comes through knowing the kingdom and the king of the kingdom. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the right way of doing things, the way the kingdom is established, the way the kingdom moves, the way the kingdom functions, the way the kingdom has government, the way the government of the kingdom is set up. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Okay, let's talk about the kingdom today. Let's talk about what God really intended for us as believers in the kingdom. In the kingdom, he says. Listen what he says. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. That means seek the royalty of the kingdom. Seek the rule of the kingdom. Seek the government of the kingdom. Seek the control of the kingdom. Seek the mastery of the kingdom. and seek the authority in the kingdom. What he's telling you and me is that all these things are a part of who God is. They are part of his character. They are part of his makeup, because he is the king of the kingdom. He is our government. He is our governor. He is the king over the rule of the body of Christ. He has set Jesus, Yahweh, who is now our heavenly father, has set his son, Jesus, who is his son, over the king. His Bible says he has given him power and over all things in the kingdom. That's why he was able to be sacrificed and now given a prestigious position as the leader of us in the body of Christ as our king. So now we understand, now our king, he has been given the right. Now, what does that mean? What I'm simply saying to you is how Jesus said it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. Well, how do we know how to seek the kingdom? We shared this on the last broadcast. It means to covet earnestly, to strive after. That means to put him in a place where you don't have nothing but him on your mind, the kingdom on your mind, the king on your mind. That's all you focus on is who he is and what he does and how he functions. And you do that earnestly, and you do that. You covet that. That's the what you live for. That you live, you move, and you have your being in that. You breathe it. You eat it. You walk it. You talk it. That's just the way the king is. That's all you're concerned about. It is like a love story. I know some of you guys. Listen. Listen, some of you guys. When you first were in love with that young lady, or some of you women, when you were first in love with that young man, it was just them. You couldn't seem like you couldn't talk to them enough. You talked to them on the phone. You when you got ready to leave, you didn't desire to leave. It was just about them. It was about you and that individual. It was your relationship. It was all about loving and caring, and you were just hooked on that individual, and that individual was hooked on you. Well, that's an earthly love. That's called phileos. Anyway, our love is agape. And phileo love is the love of men and women. And so now Jesus is saying, I want you to seek after me as if I were the lover of your heart and the lover, and I am the lover of your soul. I am your relationship. I am your fellowship. I am the person that loved you before you loved me. I'm the one that was seeking after you before you began to seek after me. This is Jesus talking. And that's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. He said, if you want to know me, then seek who I am in my character. I'm meek and lowly. I'm not exalted. I'm not high and lifted up. I'm not puffed up. I'm not unapproachable. He says, I'm lowly in spirit. Wow. Glory to God. Whew. Man, that's good stuff right there. That's how he wants us to seek him. He is the king, you know. He is our leader, you know. He is royalty. Oh, yes, he is. He is the rule of the earth. I tell you, he is the rule. He rules, and as one person said, and super rules. He is our king. He is our government. He is our control. And he is the authority in the earth. But guess what? He has passed that on to you and me. He made us to have the right, the same privileges as he did and as he rules in the kingdom, about the kingdom. What did Paul exemplify by sharing what he thought and what he said the kingdom is? He said this. He said in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people thought that the kingdom of heaven, back as I was coming up, I could sense that a new wave was coming in the body of Christ. For people were thinking that certain things and items were the kingdom of God. They felt like if you had this or you had that or you had obtained to this level or gotten to that level, that you were considered, as I shared earlier, status in the body of Christ, and that was that's what the kingdom was all about. No, friend, let me tell you, friend, the kingdom of God is not a bigger house. It's not a better car. It's not a better suit of clothes. It's not anything that pertains to this natural world. It's not having status in the earth as of such. It's not being promoted. It's not being high and lifted up. It's not any of those things. It's not seeking to be better or showing ourselves better than another. It is not the status of things. The kingdom of heaven has nothing to do with that at all, per se. The kingdom of heaven, as Paul said, is righteousness, which means justified, or to be justified, or have justification and equality. He said, he went on to say that it's peace, nothing like it, nothing broken, all things whole, all things prosperous. The Hebrew word is shalom, which means that God desires for you to have peace about him all the day long, thinking of nothing but him. That's why Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. In the book of Philippians 4:7, he says, and this is the peace that passeth all understanding and keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In the 8th verse, he goes on to say, glory to God, that we should think on the things that are lovely, that are just, that are pure, that are of a good report, and of any virtue and any praise. He said, think on these things. So it is important that you and I, as believers, understand that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and being glad, joy, being happy, welcoming gladness and welcoming cheerfulness, in the, not sad and gloom and doom and playing the blues all the time and saying, woe is me, and I can't seem, don't think I'll be able to make it, and look like I'm not going to get out of this situation, I'm not going to be able to go through, or I'm not going to get to the end of this, or why did this happen to me, and why is all of this thing, why are all these things occurring in my life, and why did I have to go through this, and why was I selected to deal with this situation? It's hard. I can't seem to bear it. He said, no, don't think that way. He said, for the kingdom is not those things in terms of misery and gloom and despair. He said, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then he said, when you seek the kingdom and his righteousness, then all of these things, the joy that you, the things that you desire in life, the quality of life that you desire, the way that you should go in life, the things that you should do in life, your purpose and your assignment will be added. You will have to be worried about, what should I be doing? How, where should I be going? How should I do this? How should I do that? He said, they will be added unto you. Well, I know I got to preach on me, praise God, but look, I'm coming. I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to come into 2014 blazing. I want to come into 2014 sharing the gospel good news that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that you change not, and that you still are doing the same things that you did in the earth when you first got here, before you got here through your Father Yahweh, what you did in the earth in the present, and even you said you're doing more now. You said, in greater works shall we do, because you go to your Father on our behalf. And so, Lord, I just thank you for 2014, that greater works will come out of Jerry O'Neill Robinson and Word Outreach International, and all of the people who are associated with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about signs and wonders. I'm talking about miracles. And when we start talking about the righteousness of God and the right to have healing, the right to be healed, the right to live in healing and live in health, it's according to 3 John 2, which says, beloved, his highest wish is above all things. His highest desire, his highest prayer is that we would, listen now, 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper, have peace, have shalom, nothing lacking, broken open, nothing lacking, nothing broken, all things whole, all things prosperous, and that's what that word means there. That thou would prosper and be in health. Not just healing, but health. Even as thy soul prospered. 3 John 2. Listen, God wants everything about you to be whole. That's why we need to seek the kingdom and the king and understand his way of doing things. Understand his character, how he acts, how he carries himself. We are his sons, we are his daughters, we are part of him in the body of Christ. We are his royalty, We are his government in the earth. We are his control in the earth. We are his rule in the earth. We are the ones who have authority in the earth. He's not coming down here himself to do anything in the earth. He's designed it, you and I. He's made you and I a model, as he did with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. He's now made the body of Christ the same image in the earth to show and represent him in the earth. Whew, that's good gospel news. I don't care how any way you look at it. I mean, you couldn't get anything better. We have our paper here is the Dallas Morning. I don't know what your paper is. It could be the Gazette of whatever city you live in. But I want to tell you that the good gospel news today is, the good news is that the bad news is wrong. If the news that you're hearing is not about the kingdom and not about righteousness, then the good news is that bad news is wrong. Well, praise God. Thank God for Pastor Mike Turkey, who coined that phrase out of Lenexa, Kansas. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Mike Turkey, for saying that. The good news is that the bad news is wrong. And that is the truth today. I'm so glad to know that the good news, hallelujah, the good news is right. And it's all right by himself because it's the truth. And it is the word of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is the believer's government. Do you believe that? The church is not a democracy, but a theocracy. It's not a Republican. It's not an independent. It's not a left wing. It's not a right wing. It's not a Democrat. It's not a democracy. It is a theocracy. The church of God, the kingdom of God, is God ruled. He is, and the kingdom of God is the believer's government. Now, I'm not saying that we are in rebellion against the government in the earth, because we have been told by the Spirit of God and the Word of God to obey the laws of the land. So I'm not talking about a rebellion here in that respect. I'm not talking about a revolt. I'm not talking about a revolution in the respect of going against the government and the laws of the earth and the land. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that we are anti whatever country we live in. I'm just saying as believers, we live under a different structure and a different way of living in terms of government when it comes to people and how we treat one another. Now, in the body of Christ, we have justice. We have equality. And that's what I'm talking about, under that particular government. I'm saying, and let me say something to that effect. If the laws of the land, I'm saying this, and I want you to hear me well, and I'm not going to say this but once here on this broadcast. If I have to say it again, I will. But listen, if the laws of the land do not reflect the laws of the kingdom, if the laws of the land advise me to do something that's out of the will of God, then I must, as a believer, stand against it. If the laws of the land tell me that I can't do anything as a believer, I must stand against it. Now, what do you mean, Jerry? Are you talking about being rebellious? No, I'm just saying that now there's a higher law. There's a higher government, and that is the kingdom of God. And I'm totally immersed and ruled by that kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is not going to tell me to do anything wrong. First of all, let me say that to those of you who are listening concerning the law of the land. But first, first and foremost, it's not going to go tell me to kill somebody. It's not going to tell me to destroy somebody. It's not going to tell me to go and outwardly commit theft or robbery. That's what I'm saying. That kingdom government is totally about the right laws that are set up in the government that we live in the natural. So it's not going to tell me to oppose the government that we live in the natural when the things of the government in the natural are lining up with it as in the kingdom. But when those things don't line up with the kingdom, then I cannot be a partaker in the laws of the land when they are refuting what's right. Somebody say, well, what made the word of God the standard? Well, the word of God is God's word, and it became the standard in the day that God created his word and sent it to you and me. For the work of, the psalmist said, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. So he is the standard. Now, I know I can hear some of you atheists. I can hear some of you as not agnostics. I can hear some of you people out there who are believing in Darwin's theory, and those of you who are saying that man came from an ape and man came from all of these things. And I can hear you people in Scientology saying that's not fair, that's not true. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something right now. As a matter of fact, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Timothy. You know, some people said, well, what gives God the rule, and what makes him the government, and why should we establish under him, and why should we do all of these things, and why should we live in that light as of such? Well, I want you to read this passage of scripture with me in the book of Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 3, if I'm correct. Yes, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy and verse 16. I want you to hear this well. Listen. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested, number one, he was shown to us. He was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's without controversy. If you go back and read any book concerning the Bible or anything that's centered around the truth, and this is the ultimate truth, you can believe that today. Here's the ultimate truth. Anything centered around, you will know that Jesus Christ came to this earth. You can't refute it. It's recorded. It's recorded in all of the old stories that we hear. It was all told about a man who came to the earth, who died on the cross. That was the holy days. That's what Christmas was all about. That's what the days that we have been celebrating, what we just came out of. He was sent to the earth to redeem man from sin. He was sent to the earth to give that. Let me say this while I'm on this broadcast. There have been some of us, I was walking in my places of shopping this year, and I hardly heard people play the Christmas music that we normally listen to. Listen, are we going there? Have we become that? Oh, I know he wasn't born on this particular day, December 25th, but because we commemorate it, because we celebrate it, God has no problem with that. But let me say this. Are we going to the place now where we're becoming anti about Christ? Instead of saying Christmas or Christmas, we say Xmas. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, we say Happy Holidays. Well, let me give you some good gospel news. If you want to say Happy Holidays, that's great with me, because actually the word holy is derivative of the word holy. So if you want to say that, let's say Happy Holy Days. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that because now it is time for us as the body of Christ to stand up and to tell the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Am I pouncing today? Praise God, and I'm glad that I am. Because glory to God, I want to let you know, I want to shout this on the housetop, that Jesus Christ is still the same, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4, the same yesterday and today and forevermore, and he will not change, has not changed, cannot change. So he is the authority in this earth, because in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And I just wanted to say that in the ears of those who hear me today. Without controversy, 1 Peter 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. In other words, Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. He did. He did make himself manifest to us. That's why John chapter 1 says, he came unto his own received him not. But to many as received him, talking about Jesus, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So that's no controversy in that today. I just want to throw that in there. Praise God. I wanted to say that Jesus is our King, and the believer's government is a part of the kingdom, and we are a part of the kingdom of God. We represent his government. We are the caretakers of the stewards of God's creation here in the earth. God has given us the rule in terms of how we should carry ourselves as believers in the body of Christ. We are the model that God has called in the earth to set forth an example and a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive and well in the planet. And I know that in the days to come, we're going to be heavily persecuted for these statements that I'm making. But I'm going to tell you something right here now, that I'm willing and very willing to receive whatever comes, because I will not remove myself from the fact that I am a part of the body of Christ and the kingdom of the living God. Amen. What about you? Okay, that word God is theos. It means the deity, the supreme divinity. It's a magistrate. It means God. Theos is God. The kingdom of God is a theocracy, is theocratically ruled by God. And you or I, if we really want to call ourselves a part of a party, are not Republican, we're not Democrat, we're not independent, we're not left wing, we're not right wing, we're not just whatever. We are theocrats. That means that you and I are God ruled. Can I say amen to that? So if somebody, when somebody asks me one day, they say, what are you, a Democrat or a Republican or whatever? What party do you represent? I said, I'm a theocrat. They said, what do you mean? I said, I live in a theocracy. They said, what are you talking about? I said, I live in a thing of government, of God ruled the kingdom, the universe. And they looked at me and didn't talk to me much after that. Anyway, glory to God. You are part of the kingdom. You are part of the kingdom. You and I are part of the kingdom, and we are God-ruled. We are God-controlled. We are God's royalty. My God. And we abide in under God's, Yahweh's authority, or either Christ now, who's been set on high to be our ruler. Glory to God. So I wanted to put that in there, that that's our place in the kingdom of the living God. Now, as we come into the runway today, I want to recap what we said about the kingdom. First of all, it represents royalty. Now, that just simply says, somebody said, well, can you explain to me how the kingdom and the government of the kingdom operates in the body of Christ? Let me give you something. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, if you got your Bible, why don't you turn there, and for a few minutes, we're going to talk about positions of government in the body of Christ as it is. Philippians chapter 4. Listen at this. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Well, let's go back to verse 4. It'll better explain to us what I'm talking about here as a believer in the body of Christ. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. He said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. That simply means that he moved himself in a greater authority, or he moved himself in a greater power than he had in previous times in the earth. He released a multitude of captives. That's why he said he led captivity captive. It seems like he was saying that he captured captivity. Actually, what it's saying is he led a multitude of captives out. And I don't have time to go into that. But he goes on to say he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, verse 9 says, now that he ascended, now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Jesus went into hell. That's what he's talking about. You go back and read the book of Peter and his account, 1 Peter, and he'll tell you that he went into hell to release those captives that were there. I don't have time to go there, but I will say this today, that Jesus Christ did deliver the captives. That's why he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In Luke chapter 4, you know that scripture very well, don't you? Well, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel of the good spell. To listen, to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, there he goes right there, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. What gifts did he give men? Well, here it comes right here. This is the gift that he gave. Well, let's go to 1 Peter 3 and 18 so you have an understanding of what I was talking about when I said he led captivity captives. 1 Peter 3 and 18. Turn there real quick if you have your Bible so you can see that. We're having a little Bible class here again. And listen at verse 18 and what he said. He said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, and by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were in hell, which was sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, there is eight souls were saved by water. And what he was saying was that Jesus went into hell and preached to the captives and delivered them from their sin. Listen, this is the thing that he gave. He said he that ascended on high also ascended up far above heavens, all the heavens, that he might feel all things. Feel all things. In other words, that he would fulfill all that he had been prophesied to do. So he gave gifts unto men. What were those gifts? And he gave some, in verse 11, apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into one unit and come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we would be henceforth, therefore, no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, a cunningness and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking, here we go now, the same thing of speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things. Time to grow up. Tell somebody, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, it's time to grow up. What do you mean? It's time to love one another. It's time to go beyond ourselves. It's time to stop thinking about you, my four, and no more. You and your little house on Rosemary Lane. That's not what God said. He said, I want you to come out your comfort zone. I want you to come out your neighborhood. I want you to know who your neighbor is. You know, we live in a time where most people don't even know who their neighbor is. And even some of us as believers in the body of Christ who live next door to a believer don't even know who our neighbor is. And I'm not going to take out the time to say anything else about that because I want to say some other things. But, you know, let me say this. I lived by a guy once, and he was a believer, and he didn't even want to come out the door. He didn't even want to come out and say hi or whatever. It looked like it would take all the world, the pressure in the world to get him to do that. But let me tell you, that's not the way we live in the body of Christ. That's not the way we live, period. Even in our own neighborhoods, if the people that live beside us are not believers, you and I shouldn't live like that. We should go out and make sure that they understand that we are saved, that we are believers, and that we represent Christ. One man said in the New Testament, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? He asked the question. And Jesus gave a parable. He said, there was a man that was on the Jericho road. He went down and thieves took over him, beat him, and left him there to die. And a man, and there comes the preacher and the Levi, the priest who came by, or the deacon. Watch out now, I'm saying something here. And they walked by the man and left him there and said, you know what, that's not my problem. He'll have to just die because I'm not going to do anything about this. And then here comes somebody, say, a good Samaritan, a person from Samaria who was good. Somebody say good. Okay, I'll say good. Good. And he picked the man up, put him on his beast, took him to the hotel, put him up, paid his bill, and said, told the keeper, take care of him, and if anything else is doing goes on this bill, when I come back through, I'll pay it. That, Jesus said, that was his neighbor. Glory to God. Now, let me say something to us today. We are our brother's keepers. I want to say that as plain as I can say it. That's who your neighbor is, that guy who picks you up when you're down. Jesus said through the proverbial writing in Solomon, a friend is born in time of adversity. Okay, let's get back to the government. Well, hallelujah. The government of the believer, he goes on to say, in verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which is by every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the kingdom, my friend. That's the government of the kingdom. The government of the kingdom is ruled by love. Who is love? God is love. Theos is love. He is the theocratic ruler of the theocracy in heaven. God is love. And that's what rules the kingdom. That's what rules the place we call heaven. Love. And God is love. And that love was demonstrated on a Roman cross of wood 2,000 years ago when a man by the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, gave his very life that this government would be established once more in the earth. And hallelujah, I'm glad today to be a part of that body, of that government of believers. Aren't you? We are all fitly joined together. Fitly joined, he said. Fitly joined together to make up every part that maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And this is Paul talking, and he went on to talk to the Gentiles even further about that. But I'm so glad today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we have the right to love one another. And so he went on to say, even in the end of that verse, he said that all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and all clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the kingdom. Not hating. As Pastor Longstreet said last week, not hating but congratulating. And not hating, but edifying and elevating. That's what he was saying. Let's elevate one another. Let's pick one another up. Let's lift one another up. Let's edify one another in love. Well, my time is about to run out here. But in these last few minutes, I just want to capsize the kingdom, the government of the kingdom, the government of the kingdom in the earth today. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the edifying or the lifting up or the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. There we go, the edifying of the body. Let's talk about the apostle. Who is he? He's a ruler in the government of the kingdom, in the earth. He is the one that God sent, even with his 12. Somebody said, well, you know, apostles don't live anymore. They were abolished in the day that Jesus died. Well, I beg to differ with you about that. I believe that we still have apostles in the earth today. As a matter of fact, can I just give this tidbit to you? I believe that one of our greatest apostles of our day and our time, and there have been many, and I believe that there will be many to come. But I believe one of the greatest apostles of our time today, and those of you who are in the body of Christ know who I'm talking about, and if you have any dealings with any network or any television, you'll know that I'm talking about a man by the name of Paul Crouch. I would have to say, my friend, that he was one of the greatest soul winners of this century. As a matter of fact, I would have to say that he is probably the greatest soul winner of this century outside of us as being a part of the body of Christ. I'm not I'm not going to elaborate on it. I don't know. That may be somebody else that won more souls than he did. I don't know. But as far as I know, recorded, from what I understand, he won some 37 million people into the body of Christ. Now, that's a record-shatter-breaking number. I think the Guinness Book of World Records ought to have that recorded. Hallelujah. It is recorded that he had the opportunity of ministering and winning 37 million plus souls in the body of Christ, not counting the ones that we don't know about. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. God bless you, he's now deceased. But his ministry still goes on. So why in his death, he's still winning souls. He left a legacy. Yeah, and we know that the proverbial writer said, a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's left us a legacy today. And he wasn't just talking about monetary value. He was talking about the kingdom. And Paul Crouch lived in that kingdom, this kingdom of God, with royalty. And he exemplified and represented the Lord on an high standard. And he's gone home to be with the king now, a king and the Lord of Lords. But I commend his work today. I salute his work today. And I say glory to God to his work today for the kingdom. And let me say this as well. Nobody else may say it. I wanted to say this to this guy personally. I would pray that I had an opportunity to say it. Maybe he'll hear this podcast and maybe and listen to it one day. I don't know. But let me give a shout out to Dwight Thompson, who helped him build the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Yes, Dwight Thompson, I'm talking about you, Evangelist Dwight Thompson. Let's praise God, who was with Paul and Jan in the initiation of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Dwight Thompson, I want to give a shout out to you today. It was by a lot of your preaching and a lot of your sowing and a lot of your giving in the day that Paul and Jan started this thing. Let me tell you, Dwight, I just want to say to you, God bless you, brother, for preaching the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and helping Paul and Jan to grow the Trinity Broadcasting Network. God bless you, and here's a great shout out to you today. Glory to God. It may not be pinned down in history. It may not go down in the oracles, but Dwight, God bless you for being there with them when they needed you the most. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to shout about the saints. I'm building up these guys because they did a work for us. And as we come into the runway today, I believe that we still have apostles. As we come into the runway today, I believe that we still have prophets in the earth. And I know that they are here and they live. I do believe that we still have evangelists like Dwight Thompson who are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and many other evangelists who are preaching and teaching the gospel of the Lord. I know that we still have pastors who are after God's own heart, who love the Lord with all their heart and all their mind, who are feeding the body of Christ, who are feeding the believers with loving kindness and tender mercies and giving them the perfected word of the living God. I believe that we still have teachers in the body of Christ who are not afraid to teach the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell men and women, boys and girls across this land and around this world that Jesus still saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. I still believe that today. I still believe that we have those governments in the body of Christ, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And God bless them and every man and woman who's standing on the wall proclaiming this gospel. I want to say to you, my hat's off to you. You be encouraged. Oh, I know it hasn't been easy, but Jesus said it wouldn't be. He said if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. So if you, and because you're a part of this kingdom and kingdom living and in this government, I admonish you today. I exhort you today. I speak to you today. I encourage you today. You missionary out there on the field, seem like there's nothing and no hope for those people that you are dealing with. I want to encourage you today. You be encouraged. Live in the kingdom. Walk in the kingdom and watch God deliver people who are seemingly hard to be broken and hard to be delivered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, my time is up. I think I've got about less than 30 seconds ago. But I tell you what, you come back with us next week as we're talking about the kingdom, the righteousness and kingdom living. From now to then, God bless you And may the grace of God in 2014 and the miracles of God be yours. This is Pastor Jerry O. Robinson signing off. Say, Word Outreach saying, God bless you and have a great rest of the new year.
Thank you.